This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard with us. The Charlie Epps Golf Hour. You're by Insperity HR that makes a difference right on here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Charlie, 2 weeks left of the regular season. We're coming off the final major championship of the year at the Open. How's everything in your world?
My world is just incredible. I just spent a week with my family at a golf tournament in Charleston, South Carolina. Beautiful state.
Beautiful.
And we had a great time. Golf was the winner again. There's 256 young men out there that are really...
Now, Charlie, that you were at the U.S. Junior, correct?
The U.S. Junior, yes, sir.
And who were you out there watching?
You know, I was watching a guy named Charlie Wiley, my grandson. And he was one of 256 young men that are playing the game hard, trying to get better. Today is the finals. But more importantly, they're all gentlemen. They're all well-coached. Parents were out there. Just a great environment. And golf is in good hands. I guarantee you, we're growing the game.
And, Charlie, I mean, when you look at, you know, the U.S. Junior Amateur, it's the biggest event of the year on the junior calendar. You look at the past winners, and these are players that turn into major champions. I mean, look at our winner last week at the Open, Brian Harman. He won the U.S. Junior back in 03. It really shows, it's a true test of who the next generation of talent is.
That is well said, a true test. Brian Harman, I said something last week that I regret. I didn't think that he could become the champion golfer of the year, and he proved me wrong. He played wonderful. He played his game, and it was magnificent to see him do what he did with all the great champions, John Rahm, Rory, McIlroy. They've won majors, but he hung in there. And really did himself proud. And so congratulations to Brian Harman, the champion golfer of the year.
Incredible. 36 years old, gets it done, holds it together. You and I both, Charlie, I didn't think he had a shot of holding off some of these guys. Like you said, Rahm, Fleetwood, Rory, Jason Day, all chasing his tail at 36 years old. And now I think my question for you is, from your perspective, from your chair, how have you enjoyed these semi-kind of blowout victories over the year? You had Keimer at Pinehurst, Scheffler at the Masters, Tiger at Pebble. Do you find those to be more impressive than the tournaments that come down to a nail-biter?
Yes, especially when there's with somebody who's not the champion, who's not the choice of the press. He just plods along, takes care of his business, very professional. He's really a great competitor. He's come close before, but no matter if you win by one or by 10, it's the way these guys conduct themselves, and especially after the fact in interviews. He's just a humble father of four, and it's just a great story, and golf presents that.
No, it really does. I mean, what a finish at the Open, and a tie for second was Jason Day, Tom Kim, John Rahm, Sepp Straka, and then in sixth was Rory McIlroy and Emiliano Grillo, who, you know, Grillo really excited me last week, Charlie. I mean, the way that this guy has really come upon the best golf of his career, I know it starts with a putter with Emiliano, but I really got that special sense watching Emiliano last week at the same course that DiVincenzo became the first Argentine in 67 to win a major. I really got a special feeling when he was coming down the stretch. I think my only wish about, as far as Brian Harman's blowout victory is concerned, is I did wish he was in that 6-7 under pack, because there were so many good golfers in the mix, not only Rory, not only Rahm, but then you had guys like Griot and Cam Young. But out of all the other golfers last week, Charlie, I think Emiliano is my favorite to watch.
Well, there's a word in the English dictionary called endure. And golf is all about enduring. And it doesn't go your way more times than you want, and you have to endure through a lot of lows. Sport is sometimes cruel. Right when you need to make a shot, it doesn't happen, and then you have family problems, and then it's life itself. And, so it was a great, great, great event, and you're right about Emiliano, a nice young man. It came from the furthest point of north in Argentina, and came from a club that produces champions. And it was a great story, and my salute. I love the Open Championship, as my good friend Bruce Davidson would call it. I always call it the British Open, but that's just me. But it was a great celebration of the game, and it produced so many great stories. And I'm happy I get to experience stuff like that.
And Liverpool was just a gem once again. I mean, even with the damp conditions, I thought it was a great test. I want to go back to something you just said as far as compartmentalizing. You know, you hear all about professional athletes having to compartmentalize things when they get in the arena, when they get on the course, when they get on the courts. They have to compartmentalize things that are happening away from the competition. Would you say golf, in your eyes, do you think it's the hardest game to kind of compartmentalize things that are happening off the course?
Well, I don't compare, golf to football or golf to tennis. Each sport has its ups and downs, and you have to endure, just like watching the ladies' soccer team, the American team, really hang in there and score the goal that tied the game. And they were going through a lot of consternation, and but all those athletes kept fighting, and you keep fighting down to the end. So sometimes you got to embrace the price of success.
Wow.
Because failure is too high. You don't.
That's powerful. That's powerful, Charlie.
Well, that's by our friend, Mr. Jay Minks, my one of my mentors in life, and he was a great, person that helped develop one of the best companies in Houston, Insperity. So yeah.
Let's hear more about Insperity, Charlie.
Well, Insperity is a company that simply has a great mission, and the mission is to be successful. And if helping business succeed so communities can prosper, that's a great mission statement for every business that we have in the United States and all over the world. But small business is what makes our country grow and go. And if you have a small business and you want to grow your business and you need some help, especially in HR, give Insperity a call. Log on to Insperity.com, and you find out how successful they have been. And the reason why they have been successful is because the owner and chairman of the company, Paul Sarvadi, knows how to treat people, knows how to treat employees, knows how to treat his customers. So it's a great success story. It's so much fun to talk about. But, during the economic crisis we had in America, Insperity was there for their clients. So if you want help and you want a friend, call on Insperity.
And that's Insperity.com for more information. And we get back to the golf here. Lee Hodges leads the way at the 3M Open. This is a guy, your leader, started the week 74 on the FedEx Cup standings. It's getting down to crunch time. These players have to get into the top 70. We'll get through the leaderboard a little bit later on, but it is great to see Tony Finau back in the mix in his title defense, T3, after 66-66. He's 10 under total on the week. And also in a tie for third, Charlie, I can't wait to talk about this guy today. How about Brant Snedeker? I mean, how about what this guy has been through? He gets the emergency surgery on his sternum. It takes him out of the game for 10 months, and he's back here. He's hungry for more success. He's T3 10 under par heading into the weekend at the 3M. How about Brandt, Charlie?
That is such a great story, and there's not a nicer guy in the world than Brandt Snedeker. So fun. He was so successful, so close in quite a few major championships, and hopefully this comeback that he'll get his time at the table.
Yeah.
Just like Brian has showed us that you have to endure to be successful, and he's on the comeback.
And as far as the Senior Open, Charlie, at Port Crawl, Stephen Alker, our guy Stephen Alker, leads the way at 4-under by 1. We saw him at the Insperity Invitational earlier this year defend his title. Of course, he has great players in Alex Cheka and Paul Lowry, Vijay Singh, Jerry Kelly, my apologies, chasing him. But Charlie, we've seen Stephen Alker. When he gets a hold of a lead, he does not give it up.
He definitely knows how to win, and he's won a lot over the last couple of years, and he's going to be, you know, tough this weekend. But Paul Lowry, I like Paul Lowry. He's a Scot that won the Open Championship at Carnoustie, and he's a good friend, and he's a really a great golf professional. He's helping all of his kids up there in Northern Ireland, like Bruce Davidson is doing. So it'll be fun to see what happens on Sunday.
And finally, the last LPGA major of the year is happening at the Amundi Evian Championship. You can find that on Golf Channel right now, showing it on Golf Channel right now. The home country woman, Celine Boutier, leads the way by 3 at the Amundi Evian Championship. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you with us here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Lee Hodges leads the way at the 3M Open there at TPC Twin Cities in Minnesota. Now, you really have to pay attention to the FedEx Cup standings on this leaderboard. If you're unaware of what's going on in the evolution of the PGA Tour season, there's only 1 week until the regular season finale at the Wyndham Championship. After the Wyndham Championship, only the top 70 on the PGA Tour money list will advance to the playoffs. Now, you look at the top three of this leaderboard. Lee Hodges, what's he? He started the week 74. He's got to bump up 4 spots to get in the playoffs. Tyler Duncan, you know, he's outside the top 100. And Kevin Streelman, who has made 16 consecutive playoffs, is 120 going into this week. He will look to improve on that. Charlie, exciting time of the season. Not a lot of names that people know at the top of the leaderboard, but some big stories to follow.
Big stories, and I'm not too sure. Excuse me.
No problem, Charlie. Clear it out. Lee Hodges leads. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'm not sure why the PGA Tour has shrunk the playoff from 125 to 70. Do you remember why they did that?
Well, here's how it's going to work, Charlie. So instead of 120, so the top 70 will go to the playoffs. They'll go to the FedEx St. Jude, and then 50 will go to the BMW, and then 30 will go to the Tour Championship. After next week, the players ranked between 71 and 125 will get an opportunity to play every event in the fall to get their status back for next spring. But the bottom line is they cut cards.
Okay. I still don't know why they did it, because I thought it was a pretty fair situation. Now, you know, they're taking care of that fewer than more, and the game has grown so much, and these guys have it. This is their livelihood, and we'll see how it works out. But I'm a little perplexed about reducing the numbers instead of growing the game.
Well, you know, the main issue, Charlie, you have over, and I don't know what you think about this. I believe there's over 2,000 professional golfers in the world who can compete at the highest level. Would you say that's a safe statement?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know where that number comes from, because
between the mini tours, between the international players, I mean,
opportunities, and you know, opportunities. You have to have more tournaments and more, you know, and it's hard, and all the money is going to the top few. I'm not sure if it's all, you know, the government is going to get into this Saudi deal, and I don't think the PGA Tour is going to come out winning, because they're going to take their tax exemption away, because the money is just getting lopsided. Time will tell, but there's some things coming that I don't think the PGA Tour is going to like, especially Mr. Monahan, who seems to be making mistakes left and right. And we'll have to wait and see how this all comes out.
Yeah, Streelman is a key name in this, not only because obviously he's playing well at the 3M. Streelman's had a rough year for the most part, but he's on that player advisory council. And Streelman said this week that they heard from Monahan from the for the first time since he exited stage left with some medical issues. Streelman said they were made clear on his medical issues, and that Jay Monahan actually said that the way that he unveiled this partnership on CNBC with Yasser Al-Rumayyan, he said that was a mistake. It should have been rolled out with the players. And because he said that was a mistake, Charlie, you have to kind of think some of the details in this agreement maybe aren't hashing out the way that he would like.
Yes, it's very clear. It's very clear that we haven't studied this, the repercussions that is going to come out of this, and this chairman that wants to be a member at Augusta, and he wants to be a member of the RNA. That's not the way you do things in our world, and so we'll have to wait and see. It really concerns me.
Let's go to the text line and take a question. This comes in from Bruce in Tanglewood. Charlie, it appears that Brian Harman will be a lock for the Ryder Cup. Do you feel like the Open champion should always make the Ryder Cup team regardless of how the rest of their season went?
Well, it's very evident that you win a major championship, you get points that are triple or – and he's earned his way into the.
He sure has.
And so I agree. I look forward to watching him play. I mean, there was a rule that if you win the PGA of America championship, it's you're an automatic player at the Ryder Cup, because it's played. The Ryder Cup is owned by the PGA of America, not by the PGA Tour.
And people don't understand that. I think that needs to be very clear. You know, that the PGA of America, they're the one that started this tournament. They're the one that runs the show.
Right, and the PGA negotiated that when they split in 1968, and that the PGA Tour could have their own tour, but the Ryder Cup was property of the PGA of America, and they have the right to say who plays and when they don't play. Jack Nicklaus wasn't a member long enough, and he hadn't accumulated enough points back when he was a young guy, and he wasn't allowed to play in the Ryder Cup. So I'm not sure about Brooks Koepka, because he won the championship. He's not a member of the PGA Tour, PGA of America.
That's a great question. You know, Charlie, that Zach Johnson, Jim Furyk, Davis Love, that fraternity that is in this in the leadership roles of the Ryder Cup team, you know, those are guys that believe in that, Charlie. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, these are guys that believe in the history of the tour, the history of the PGA of America. They are traditionalists.
But what the PGA Tour should do is buy the Ryder Cup rights from the PGA of America, and then they can run it. And because the PGA Tour, they supply all their players, but the fact of the matter is, who has ownership of this championship? Just like at Augusta, the PGA Tour does not run the Masters, and they don't run the U.S. Open. They have 40 tournaments a year that they run, but they participate in the four majors. And just like the RNA, they run the Open Championship. So we'll have to see how this all comes out.
You know, and I think just to wrap up Bruce's question, I guarantee that he sees Brian Harman at the Ryder Cup. He jumped 17 spots in the point list last week. He's third. And I think just to follow up on what Zach Johnson said about it, Brian Harman, this is a guy that hits every fairway, and when he's feeling it with the putter, he makes every putt. He's proven that he can be a great team golfer. You know, he played in two Walker Cups, Charlie, 2009 and 2011. He was a great junior. It's an overdue time that we're going to see Harman in his first Ryder Cup, and he had three top 20s rolling into the Open. So I think he's in good form. He's going to be a great team player for the Americans.
Well, the other thing is that the golf course they're going to play on in Italy is not a bomber's course, and it's going to suit the champion golfer of the year's Brian Harman's game. And so we're going to need a straight player with a good putter, and he's proved that he can keep the ball in the fairway. So he's going to be a great, not only he's going to be an important part of the team.
Charlie, you look at some of the disappointing missed cuts this week, as far as Ryder Cup goes and as far as the playoff goes. Justin Thomas, Cam Young, Sahith Theegala, Joel Dahman, Sung J.M., Sepp Straka all missed the cut at the 3M. But let's start with Justin Thomas. Not a timely missed cut for the Ryder Cup, not a timely missed cut for the playoffs, and you're talking about a guy who's never finished worse than 12th on the FedEx Cup standings. This must be a different experience for him.
Oh, I can imagine. It's a horrible experience, but it happens, and players go into slumps. Great teams go into slump. Look at the New York Yankees this year in Boston Red Sox. These guys got the best, the most guys on the payroll, and they can't, win anything, which I'm happy about.
And the Mets. Throw the Mets in there as well.
The Mets, and San Diego. Look what San Diego did.
They went all in.
So
Tatis,
sometimes
Soto, all of them.
Yeah, and sometimes, that you never know what's going to happen when you're playing with a golf ball or basketball or football. It bounces in so many different directions, and JT, he's a new husband and got new – you never know what's happening behind the scenes. No doubt.
We'll get back to JT. We'll get back to Ryder Cup on the other side. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 975 Houston. Back after this.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
Great to have you with us here on a Saturday morning. And let me tell you about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations. And it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, their partners are Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal that you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. Go see them at one of their 9 locations and visit their website at brooksideusa.com to check out any special deals at Brookside Equipment. All right, back here reviewing this PGA Tour season as we only have 2 weeks left before the playoffs. Let's start with a major headline this week as far as the tour is concerned, and it's the golf ball. It's rolling back the golf ball. We'll start with the question, Charlie. This comes from Paul in Houston. Charlie, what do you think of Jay Monahan's statement that the PGA Tour will not support the USGA and R&A in rolling back the golf ball?
I was very surprised that he'd come public, and once again, I think he's jumping the gun. You still have to spend time in committee and making sure the right decision comes out of that committee. I'm not sure why Now, I don't trust Jay Monahan in anything anymore because of what he's done over the last year. So the PGA Tour has to be in line with the USGA, with the RNA, with the whole world. And because we don't know what that means for the LPGA. You don't know what that means to junior golf. I mean, I just witnessed the United States Junior Championship, and there's 256 kids playing wonderful golf. Now you're going to change all that? It's a day and time, you know.
Charlie, there's no organization with anything. Where is the research and development department? You know, shouldn't they spend some time maybe trying to figure out if we can get a similar consistent golf ball for the entire professional game to play?
You know, yes, and it's not the ball. It's the athletes that are playing the game. No matter what you do, the athlete is going to find a better way to go faster, run longer, be better, and they can't monitor that. So Jay Monahan better watch out what he says. We got to make sure that it's coming from a committee, not a committee of one.
Well, 100%. Now, a couple very small news as far as the board, the PGA Tour board is concerned. Obviously, they lost a member last month, Randall Stevenson. He said he wanted no part of the PGA Tour board because he cited the Jamal Khashoggi Washington Post journalist case. Now, Monahan is going to replace Stevenson with a player, so that on the PGA Tour board, there will be more player representatives than business executive representatives.
I still, once again, is that the board has got, they've got to vote for that to make sure, you know, you can't replace. A player doesn't have a chance to simulate all of the things that are going on today. You got to get special people, and they lost a special person because somebody made a decision that he didn't agree with, and I salute him for it.
Yep. One last key piece of news with the tour. Jason Gore, who is a former PGA Tour player. Charlie, we love him. He got promoted to the chief players officer. You know, you hope that Gore can serve as a better middleman, communications person that can kind of sort some of this stuff out between the players and the suits. What about Jason Gore, Charlie?
Jason is a lovely person. I've known him. I've seen him play. I've been around him, and he's very qualified. And I agree with having a person like him in this position because he can relate to the players because he was a player, what a successful player. So I'm along with this decision,
and we'll see how all of this comes together here over the next month. You know, the 2023 season is ending. There is already a fall schedule in place as far as next season, but still at this point in time, no clarity on what the spring of 2024 looks like. We know that there has been word of mouth only agreement between the PGA Tour and the PIF, but we have no clue on what the schedule or the details of that are going to look like moving forward. Let's take a question from Steve in Gainesville, and we go back to the U.S. Junior. Charlie, great to see you at the U.S. Junior last week. What are you most impressed with in the up-and-coming generation of golfers?
Well, they're so well-trained. They're so well disciplined. Everybody was, it was a great atmosphere of young people in the game of golf. I was very impressed with each. I stood on the range and watched all the great swings, and I looked at on the putting green while I was watching my grandson, and there's so many great things happening in young people's golf. All of the golf coaches, a lot of the golf coaches were there recruiting and looking, and I talked to a few, and I asked them, the state of the game is good for you. He says, yeah, there's so many good players, and they're so well trained, and when we get them in the universities, they're really coachable, and you can see the ladies' golf on the NCAA and men's golf is at an all-time high.
No, it really is. You know, you remember, you know, Your daughter, Nona, Charlie, played a lot of high-level competitive golf. When you look back on the days of being on the range at those tournaments, at those high-level amateur tournaments, and you're on the range today watching a young Charlie Wiley, anything that stands out to you as far as differences there?
Well, you know, both of my daughters played collegiate golf, and they had great coaches, and they had great programs, and they played tournaments, and they balanced their time playing golf 20 hours a week. That's all they could do. So they had the discipline to keep up with their studies. They both graduated from their institutions and went on to be teachers very successful in the business world. So it's going that way. I think college golf is so good. High school golf is really getting good. I mean, they're getting better coaches, and I've seen that happen at Memorial High School, where my grandson went to state and saw all of the kids that are playing at a state level, it's good.
Charlie, did you get a chance to watch it all? This guy, he's a Texas commit. He's about 6'8". His name's Tommy Morrison. Did you get a chance to watch him hit balls at all?
Incredible. I mean, absolutely incredible. And he finished his high school early and signed on with University of Texas. And, the kid is an incredible golfer. They used to go play basketball at 6'8", 6'9". And not now.
Right.
They got equipment that his swing looks terrific.
It's like Adam Dunn, Charlie, the old first baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. Texas wanted him to come play quarterback, and he ended up being the backup for Major Applewhite. Now, that would never happen today because, you know, coaches get so caught up in the injury. Oh,
yeah.
Don't get hurt. Oh, load management this, load management that. If this was 20 years ago, you would see Tommy Morrison on a basketball court. Now, he actually lost in the quarterfinals. And the U.S. Juniors currently in the final here at 8:00. They're in a rain delay, but anyways, I know you had a thought there. What were you saying?
No, that's fine. The finals is today, correct?
Yeah, the finals is today. Brian Kim versus Joshua Bay. Brian Kim, a kid from Maryland, and Joshua from New Zealand, but they're in a rain delay, Charlie. I guess they're getting some rain in Charleston.
Well, I saw a 13-year-old play golf that I never would have thought that this kid could play as well as he did, and I can't remember his name. He's a Korean, I believe.
But we'll find it.
Yeah, but it was great. It was great.
We'll find it. Well, here on the other side, we have a lot of great stories for you. A major cheating incident that happened on the Canadian Tour last week. We're going to break that down. We'll get you up to date on Tony Finau returning to form. He's in contention as he's on his way to defending his title to 3M Open. You know, Finau is a guy who won four times in a matter of about 6 months last year. But as far as the last 12 weeks is concerned, Finau has lost his guaranteed spot on the Ryder Cup. We'll tell you his chances to make that team on the other side here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity. HR that makes a difference. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, nice to have you with us. Let me tell you about the Swing Sound app, which you can find on the App Store and Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or you swing the club too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. Now, with some of the help of the best sound engineers around the world, Marius Filmater has developed the Swing Sound app, which plays a consistent rhythmic sound that will help you establish your swing tempo and master your golf performance. Do yourself a favor, take control of your golf performance, and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. All right, Charlie, the 3M, you have the Senior Open. And you have the Evian. I want to start with the Senior Open here, Charlie. We haven't talked about Steve Stricker. I mean, three majors and four major starts. This guy is on some kind of run. Could still compete on the PGA Tour if he wanted to.
Yes, he could. He's a very talented person. He's kept his physique. He has a very simple move into the golf ball. He hits a lot great wedges. He's probably, you know, he probably hits the same distance as our champion golfer of the year, Brian Harman, does. So, yes, he could compete on the regular tour. I'm not sure that he wants to, but he's a great example of a great swing that is not hurried. He's got a great tempo, timing, and rhythm is the same.
That's the key. Now, speaking of Brian Harman, we'll go ahead and get to the next question. This comes from Dave in Spring Branch. Charlie, I was watching Brian Harman's pre-shot routine last week, and he takes a lot of time over the ball. Coverage counted about 20 waggles over one of his golf shots last week. What do you tell students about pre-shot routine?
Well, pre-shot routine is very important, but you've got to have your mind made up and visualize the shot you're trying to execute and have the number of distance that you want the ball to go. And as you get up over the golf ball, it's just kind of like a basketball player. You know, you dribble to relax yourself one, two, three times, and then you go ahead and execute your shot. You know, Sergio Garcia had the same problem during the U.S. Open at Bethpage, and he would waggle, and the New York crowd got on him, and they convinced him to hurry up. So this will be brought to his attention, but in that situation, he probably got a little you know, you get in a rhythm and he can't stop it sometimes. So he'll work on that. I don't think it's a problem.
Well, he spoke on it yesterday, Charlie. He even said himself, "Hey, I'm not trying to do this. It annoys me as well, but it's just it happened to be part of the process last week for him."
Exactly right.
Now, looking at the Ryder Cup, Charlie, we talked about JT, Justin Thomas, missing the cut this week. Number one, his Ryder Cup chances are looking slim to none, and his playoff chances are looking slim to none unless he has a good finish next week at the Wyndham Championship. Now, Tony Finau, Charlie, is another guy who has struggled as of late, probably the last 8 weeks. You know, Tony, when you think about this time last year, had just won the 3M and he had just won Detroit. He won in Houston over the fall. Looked like someone who was going to be a lock for the Ryder Cup, a stalwart for the Ryder Cup. And, you know, here over the last 7 weeks, he's struggled. His putting has been deplorable. He is not a lock for the Ryder Cup right now, but defending his title at the 3M would certainly change that.
Well, yes, it will. And the one thing that the rules have allowed is they have six people that they can really choose, captain choices. So when it gets down to the nitty-gritty here very shortly, Freddie Couples, who's an assistant captain, for Zach Johnson, they'll have a powwow and they'll come up with choosing the best players. But sometimes that's hard to do. It's proven in the past that sometimes the captain choices aren't the greatest. But I trust Freddie because, you know, and I hope he becomes the Ryder Cup for the next one here in the United States. I think he deserves it. He's been a wonderful ambassador for professional golf and the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup. So, I kind of digress.
100%. 100%. When Freddie captained the Americans at the 2009 President's Cup at Melbourne, was it? When Tiger hit that shot on 18 and he twirled it and Freddie kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that was incredible. I hope the same thing. But he actually spoke on the team this week. You know, obviously, Freddie said, you know, Spieth is going to be in. You know, he said that the entire captain's base is hoping that JT can resurge here and make the team. You know, the one name that Freddie was not overly confident about making the team was Keegan Bradley, which surprised me a lot. The winner of the the Travelers, and obviously a guy who has been great in a lot of Ryder Cups and President's Cup. He's currently 10th on the standings.
Yep. But he's won twice, and he's going to get consideration. He's going to get consideration. Yeah. I'm not
but
sure.
But, Charlie, do you take a number 13, Sam Burns, who won the Dell Match Play, obviously a considerable event, a comparable event to the Ryder Cup? Do you take him over a Keegan Bradley, an older Keegan Bradley?
Well, my judgment last year went out the window. I didn't think that Brian Harman was going to win, and he showed me wrong. So,
Charlie, you're flipping a coin. Go ahead.
All these guys are good, and you just have to go with your instincts. And I think Zach will go. He's been around long enough. He'll make the right decisions.
No doubt, smart guy, Zach Johnson. One of the best to ever do it, you know. Won the Masters and won the Open at St. Andrews. Could you pick two better majors to win?
No, that's a pretty good double whammy, you know.
Okay. Don't let me forget about this, Charlie. Did you see the cheating incident on the Canadian Tour last week?
Oh yeah, that's unfortunate. The kid made a very very dumb mistake, and he's paying for it, and I don't think he's a cheater. He just made a judgment. How about the lady that's playing on the Evian Tour, the Spanish girl?
Carlota. Yeah,
she got
a time penalty, said, forget it, I'll quit.
That's it. She didn't honor that. So to each his own. But right now I've got one message I got to send out. During this past week, I was going to go to a class reunion of 1963. How about that? And all my friends, and I couldn't make it. And Jerry and Link Smith and James Jensen and Bill West, these guys, I went to grade school with the first, second, and third grade. And I was going to graduate from Plymouth High School, but my dad moved us to Argentina. I just want to shout out to them. I'm sorry I missed it, but I'm going to see him in October. But attend your class reunions. You got to keep in touch with all your buddies.
Charlie, that's one thing. I mean, you know, as far as the way that I look up to you, the way that you're able to maintain all these relationships, you know, you stay close to everyone no matter when they were in your life. It's such a respectable thing, but I just feel like someone in your position typically does not take the time to keep up with classmates. It's really incredible.
Well,
so hats off to you, my friend.
Yeah, you got to do it. I mean, these people were important parts of my life, and they all went to the airport when I left for Argentina, and we got back together again, and old friends are very, very important.
Now, when is your next trip to Argentina? When do you foresee getting back down there?
Well, I've got an inkling. If everything goes right, maybe October, November. There's a few things I want to, you know, visit.
I want to go to the Argentine Open, Charlie.
That's it. Well, we'll have to take you along. But, there's great times down there, and I want to have one more asado and drink a little mate.
One more, Charlie. What are you talking about?
Well, you just had one more.
How about a couple more, Charlie?
Couple more. Yeah.
All right. Let's make some picks here, Charlie. The PGA Tour leaderboard. You have Lee Hodges leading the way at 15 under. He's got a 4-stroke cushion right now. 63, 64. Lee Hodges. Lee Hodges, a guy that's 74 on the FedEx Cup standings, needs a big week. Here's your options here. Hodges, Duncan, Streelman, Poston, Finau. Who do you think gets it done? Also, Snedeker and Grillo. Who do you think gets it done at the 3M?
I want Finau to win. How about that? Is that okay?
Oh, Charlie, I don't think we got your pick. Who do you think wins the 3M, my friend?
Finau.
You have Finau. I've got Snedeker coming out of nowhere post-sternum surgery.
Oh, I'd like that. He's a wonderful person.
All right, Charlie,
person.
Great to be with you this morning. Thank you, Greg Frank, behind the ones and twos. We'll see you next week here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
Thank you. Bye-bye.